Okay, so our next guest really opened up my eyes to what is God calling us to do with our time, our 24 hours. We all get the 24 hours, but God's calling us all to do something a little different with it. So let's check that
Building spirituality, family, health, and business. This is The Giant Builders with Lois Wyant.
All right, Giant Builders, we're getting ready to start with Lissa. And I wanted to remind you, in case you missed it, if you would love to start your own podcast and share your voice and share the message and the talent that God has given you, I do have a podcast course, Getting You Started with Your Podcast. So I'll have that link below. So I hope to be seen listening to your podcast soon. Hey, Giant Builders, welcome. Today's guest is Lissa Fannigan. Hey, how are you?
I am so good, and it is so fun to spend time with you today. Pun intended.
Thank you. Well, will you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, well, I've kind of gotten here the hard way. What I've learned over the years is that when I think I have everything under control, very often it's not. And don't we always want to feel like we are the ones who are managing our time? And yet God has taught me over and over again that it ultimately doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Him. So I'm in a season of life. I have a lot on my plate. I'm a woman in midlife. I'm a daughter of God. I've been married to my husband for nearly 30 years, and he is an Army veteran. So I've been in that world for a long time. And now two of our three kids are serving active duty, and they live on opposite sides of the country. So that, yeah, really spreads things out. But I've got three dogs that live here at the Figgy Farm, as we call it, that keep me going. And I love just getting to connect with women who are really want to be faithful with their time and aren't really quite sure how to do it. And so, yeah, I come at it from a very different perspective than what the gurus tell you. And it's really been a lot of fun to walk with them and see them go from this random busyness that we all fall into to really faithful fruitfulness and really seeing a lot of outcome in how time is being spent.
Well, I love the fruitfulness out of my time. I love that. Tell me how I do that.
Right? Well, here's the, if I boil it down into one phrase, it is this. And I have this written on a whiteboard that's just here in my office. And it's this: when you tend the roots, the fruit takes care of itself. You know, we want to go out there and we want to shine up that, you know, that apple, or we want to like brush off the dust off the leaves and things like that, and think that's what's going to bring the fruit. And yet, every good gardener, every good vine, you know, keeper, everyone who wants to grow something knows your attention has to go to the roots, because that's what's going to give the life source to the plant, which is then going to produce the fruit. And it's going to be able to withstand the seasons, right? And the things that come and go, the drought, the sun, the cold, the warm, you know, the wind, all those different things. And so I believe the same thing is true in our lives, that when we are rooted in Him and not busy jumping from one thing to the next, hoping this is, you know, the next best thing that's going to fix our problem, then we really have Him flowing through us, and that's what produces the fruit.
Oh, that's excellent. I love that. That's so beautiful. All right. So, why is time such an issue when we are building a business?
Well, that's a great question, because we all only get 24 hours in a day, right? And let's be honest, we live in a really busy and distracting and demanding world. I call them the shuns, right? Obligations,
Oh.
expectations, and distractions.
Okay. What
Because
was the second one?
obligations, expectations, and distractions.
Okay.
So the obligations are the things that we feel like we need to do, and a lot of those tend to come around our roles, right? I want to be a great wife, I want to be a great mom or grandma, I want to be a good friend, I want to take care of my aging parents, I want to help my, you know, my adulting kids or those who are close to that. I want to grow my business and serve in my community and my church and all that. And yet, all those people probably already have expectations on us as well as all the things that they think we should be doing. And then we just have distractions. I mean, let's be honest, we have these extra appendages called a phone that literally follow us 24/7. And there's screens in almost every room of our homes, and sometimes even on our bodies, on our wrist. And it's really hard to get away from all these things that are demanding our attention. And one of the things that I talk about a lot is that you need to give the things that matter attention, because if you don't, one day they will demand your attention, right? And then it will always cost you more, right? Like, think about health, right? If you're not giving attention to your health, down the road, you are going to be forced to give it attention. And yeah, it's not going to be pretty at that point. So we have a lot of things pulling at us, right? For sure.
We do. So actually, just giant builders, if you didn't see my episode for February the 13th, it was the day before Valentine's, I confess some of the things that I have done and given up to take more control of my time and to show more love to myself. So I invite you to go and check that out. All right. So talk to me about, you mentioned the gurus. So why shouldn't we just do what they say?
Yeah, well, guess what? First of all, they're probably trying to sell you something. It's always like,
Yeah.
be very discerning who you're listening to, right? And I truly believe, and I can say this because I was there, right? I was going to all the experts, all the gurus. You know, I had the great planners, I had the programs, I had the, okay, I'm starting Monday, or I'm starting, on the first of the month, or whatever it was, plans in place. And yet, what I found was they didn't really fix the problem, because it was just kind of either putting a Band-Aid on something that was a gaping wound, or it was just kind of like rearranging things, just to make them look a little prettier. So it's like the difference between, like, if you were to organize the things in your office versus I'm going to simplify the things in my office. Like, there is a big difference. What I
Ooh.
find is we just focus on the organization. Okay, here's the thing. Like, you could organize your desk and it looks amazing for a day or maybe two, or maybe a week or two if you're really lucky, right? But chances are it's going to go from order to disorder, because it's called the law of entropy. Like, that's what things naturally do, unless we are super intentional about, giving them the time that they need. And so I feel like, yeah, what we hear out there is just, you just need to get more organized, and then we feel bad that I'm not organized enough and I just need to get organized. And yet, I don't really think that's it, because it doesn't get to the root of our busyness problem, right? Which is not a disorder calendar or even a disorder to-do list, although those are things that are helpful, but they are secondary to a disordered heart. When our heart is distracted, when our heart is trying to please all these things, you talked about the things you laid down. I'm just finishing up a series on my podcast that's all about idols, which are the lesser things we give our time to, right? Because we have two choices. We give our time to God and the things of Him, or everything else. And yeah, so often we say, I'm so busy. And I'm like, well, maybe busyness is really not your calendar or how many things are on your to-do list. Maybe it's a heart problem that you're giving your time away to all these lesser things, and you're just trying to make it look pretty, right? You're trying to, like, tidy things up and put cute little labels on there, and, have little, cute baskets and stuff like you would do in your office. And yet it really is, all still a mess inside there. And I really believe that the head and the heart are connected. And so often we are believing that time is something we have to chase, and I have to get it under control, because if I don't, it's going to get away from me. And then we're focusing on the lack, right? The time that we don't think we have, instead of, like, His word tells us over and over again, that time is a gift, right? This is the day the Lord has made. Like, I'm to receive it as a gift and to, like, be grateful for the abundance in it. And when you actually look at the words for time, in English, sometimes we just have one word and it means, like, every different version of the word. But in the actual Greek, there's either chronos, which is what we measure on our watches and clocks and calendars, and that's the time we feel like we have to control. But the other way of talking about time is kairos, which is more of those moments that are pregnant with purpose, that are beyond us. And in that situation, it's more of a stewarding of it. So in the one case, right, chasing my clock, it's like, it's all on me. There's never going to be enough time. Let's be honest, there's never enough of me either to get it all done, let alone the time, versus it's all from Him. And He tells us that to Him who gives us exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or imagine, right? Like, if he thinks 24 hours is what I need, I can trust that not only is that enough, but it is enough to produce a bountiful and abundant harvest. And so I really think, like, yeah, it's a heart posture, and it's what are we believing about our time?
Oh, wow. Okay, a lot's going through my head right now.
Okay, I have a great way to walk you through this. If I can do this for your audience, this would be really good. In fact, I even have this sitting on my desk still from something I did earlier. I have this process that I call a steer belief map, because your beliefs steer your results, right? So what I have people do is I have them take a piece of paper, and if you're watching the visual version of this, you can do this, and you write the word steer vertically, STEER. S is for your situation. So say your situation is your time. Okay, it's neutral. It's not positive or negative. We all get the same number of hours in a day. It just is what it is. T is your thought that you are believing about that situation. And the recurring thought that I hear from so many women, especially women who are juggling life and business, is there's never enough time, right? Or some form of that. I'm always busy. You know, someone always needs something. I always get interrupted, which I think are all versions of that there's never enough time. And what happens is we start thinking this thought on repeat. And guess what happens when you think things on repeat?
It
You
becomes
start
real.
believing them. Yeah, right. And it starts becoming who you are, which leads to the first E, which is your emotions. So when you're believing there's never enough time, how do you feel? Well, I feel like I'm always running to catch up. I feel like I'm always under pressure. I feel stressed. I feel overwhelmed. I feel like, you know, we could probably laundry list all the things we feel on a really regular basis. The next E is execution. So when I'm feeling those things, because I'm believing that thing about my time, what do I do or don't do? And here's what I find. Either we do one of two things, or maybe you can be somewhere in the middle. Either you're like me and you just try to do more. You try to cram more in, you get up earlier, you stay up later, you don't take a lunch break, you push, 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 you don't stop on the weekends, like go, go, go. I'm just gonna like maximize every minute. Or you go, forget it all, I can't do it anyway. I'm gonna go grab the Häagen-Dazs and go binge Netflix, or maybe somewhere in between, right? But like, yeah, we don't, and then we're just going in circles, or we're going nowhere. And so the R is your result, right? And when you're doing those things or not doing those things, when you're feeling that way, when you're believing that about your time, there's never enough time, guess what? You don't have enough time for it all, right? It's like our beliefs steer our results, and your results are always a reflection of what that thought was that you were believing. And so then what I take women through is I go, okay, let's see what God says about our time, right? Like he says that he has given us all that we need to do the work that he has called us to do. And then we rework the belief map using that belief. And it's amazing how nothing changed about your calendar. Nothing got off your to-do list. But when you have a rightly ordered heart, and you are believing what God says is true about you and about your time and about what he's called you to, now you can pick up the tool, like the planner, like the time blocking, like the routines, like the workflows, like, whatever those things are, as a CEO, which is what I've termed a Christ-empowered operator of a God-given
Ooh,
life business.
that's
He's the
good.
chairman of the board, so we can't do anything without him. But yeah, I'm empowered by him now to do these things. So with that right belief, it's amazing how, like, now, yeah. Sure, there are days when I feel those beliefs coming up. I don't have enough time. I'm not going to fit it all in. But then I remind myself, but he says he's given me all I need to do what he's called me to. And then I can quietly trust him that, yeah, maybe everything on my list was not what he called me to. Or that even when I feel like giving time, extra time to something, whether it's time with him or time with someone who needs it, I'm still going to have more than enough time to do these other things that I know I'm supposed to do. And it's amazing. Kingdom math is not the same as the world's math, because it doesn't matter. Like lately, I've been lingering longer over my quiet time with him in the morning, call it my CEO meeting with him, and I still have more than enough time to get it all done, compared to back in the day when I would like rush into my day, like quiet time, check, there's my 15 minutes. Okay, now I got things to do and people to see, right? So yeah, it starts in the heart, right? So you tend those roots and the fruit will take care of itself.
That's beautiful. That really is beautiful. So, all right, who is like the best person to seek out your services?
Well, anyone who has 24 hours a day in front of them, LOL. But I specifically feel called to work with those who have said yes to him, right? To a relationship with him. They want to be faithful stewards of the time they have. And for some crazy idea, for some crazy reason, not only are they managing all these things in life, especially in midlife where you've got aging parents and launching kids and an aging body and a marriage that, you need to keep tending to and things like that. But you also have this crazy harebrained idea you're going to do a business. And most of my women that I work with are solopreneurs or maybe have just a VA or something. I don't really have like a full-blown team and like, hundreds of employees. And so a lot of it falls on them. And it can be really easy in that situation for life to take over and business doesn't happen, right? Or for business to take over and then life gets neglected. And so how do we hold both with open hands, because again, it's given to us by him and it's to build his kingdom. And then how do we make sure that we're not, dropping balls or ourselves on the ground because we've just worked ourselves into a tizzy and we're, overextended, overstretched, overcommitted, overwhelmed, all the overs, right?
So, what does the first meeting with you look like?
Well, we sit down and we look at what you're called to first,
Oh,
right?
good
Think that
place.
matters because I think so often we think because somebody else is doing this is what we're supposed to do, right? Or because we read a book and that's what she was doing, that's what we need to do. Or because this is what our mom or our grandma did, or what our best friend is doing, or whatever. And so I think the first thing is really just sitting down and saying, what is the vision that God has given you for your life? And we walk through eight areas of life: your faith walk, your family, your friendships, your stewardship, your wellness, your passions, and your dwelling. Because let's be honest, you still have to wash dishes, do laundry, like, make sure we're
Oh.
falling apart here. And also our business, or some people, like I have some clients who have a job and a business, on top of all these things. And so we look at, like big picture, what has God called you to in these areas? And what's getting attention? Think about the spinning plates. You've seen that guy like at the circus before, right? And he's got a whole bunch of spinning plates going. He's paying attention to all of them. He's not touching all of them at the same time, but he's paying attention to, hey, if I don't give this some attention, this plate's gonna crash, right? And so we have to kind of know where are those, what's the current state of that? And then we start going, okay, so how do I make sure that, I'm taking care of these things on the base, giving them the attention they need so they don't fall down? And what is God calling me to do to grow in these areas? And so then we start getting even more and more specific down to, what are the things I'm gonna do on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis to not just barely maintain this, because that's not what we're going after. That's not abundant fruitfulness, right? We want that abundant for the 30, 60, 100-fold harvest that comes from, that seed going in right soil and then getting the things that it needs.
Oh, so much to think about there. That's wonderful.
Well, and
Whoa.
it can be overwhelming, and I always like to say, like, you don't have to do it all and do it all well and do it all right now. Right. And so we look at one of the things we do, and I just had this conversation with my CEOs this morning, making a task list. Like, what are the things you are doing in business? Maybe you keep a notebook next to you for the next couple of days or the next week, and just every time you do a different task, jot it down. I bet you'll be surprised at all the things you do and like, wow, she's really amazing. Right. No wonder she's stressed out. No wonder she's, overwhelmed. And do the same thing with life stuff, like things around the home, things with family, things with church or community or those kinds of things. And then we sort that list, right? Because we can't do everything. And so we go, I call it the four D's. What can I delete? There are things guaranteed that are on those lists that do not have to be done. The world will not fall off its axis. Here's permission to just say, you know what? It's okay. I'm letting this go, right? So that first one is what can go? What can I delete? The second one is delegate. So these are things that do matter, but you're not the only person in the world who can do them. Now, I know sometimes it feels easier to do it ourselves, or we feel like, we want our hands on it or in it. And yet it really is just taking time and attention away from other things that only we can do. So determining what are the things that do matter, but I'm not the only person. The third one is delay. What are the things that do matter? I am the person, but right now is not the time. Now, this is different than procrastinating. I'm not saying go do the Haagen-Dazs and the Netflix at this point, right? Like if God says this is what you need to be working on right now, then I'm going to make time for it. And we always can make time for what matters. It's amazing how that happens. But it's really looking at and saying, can I give this thing the time and attention it needs right now in this season, whether that's this day or this week or this month or this year, whatever that is, or do I need to come revisit this at a later time? And then we put it, so maybe perhaps you're looking at and you're like, this is not a this month thing, but you know what? Next month, when I go to preview my month, I'm gonna reassess this and see if this is a better time. Or maybe next quarter or maybe next year, so it doesn't go away because you're saying it still matters. And here's the rule. My friend came up with this. I thought it was brilliant. Every time you move it, you put a little mark next to it. And if you have three little stars or dots or whatever next to it, then you ask yourself, does this really matter? If it's been easy enough to put off three times, is this really something that has to happen? And then the last D is the delight, right? What are the things that really are either delighting in the of themselves and are exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now? Or let's be honest, not everything feels fun in the moment, right? Like doing laundry or washing dishes, but having clean clothes in my closet when I want to get dressed, or having dishes that, I can pull out of the cabinet when dinner's ready. Like that feels good. That's delighting. So we're focusing our time on that, and I call those our CEO tasks. Those are things that we are called to do. We're supposed to be doing them now, and they are going to lead to the kingdom fruitfulness, that we're called to.
That was so much great information. Giant Builders, you have to go back and listen to this one like two or three more times because there's a lot of good items in that
Just
talk.
remember the four Ds:
40.
delete, delegate, delay, and delight. I was a teacher, and so I always had to come up with fun ways for my kids to remember stuff. And let's be honest, this is how I remember things. It's because I have duplicates something like that, right? Yeah. And then with it is something that's delighting, right? Then it should go somewhere on our calendar, right? Not randomly in the to-do list of random things written in random order of random importance. That is not serving anyone. I was that girl. I call myself a recovering should-do list girl because I used to write the list out, on Post-its or in my notebooks. And then if it didn't get done, I just either, had to rewrite it the next day or add it to it. And it was literally overwhelming and exhausting. So instead, I look at the things that are ahead of me. And here's what I've discovered. I think almost like 80 to 90% of things on our typical to-do list are actually reoccurring things. And so they belong in a routine inside one of my time blocks. And then the things that are truly a to-do list, like I just have to do this and then it's checked off and I don't have to think or, think about this again, then okay, then I can do a power hour or something where I can catch up with those things. But yeah, then it takes all of it out of our head trying to hold on to it up here. We only have so much bandwidth up there and we only have so much time. So it helps us to, be able to put like things together. So we're, when we do sit down for something, it's not us jumping from one thing to the next and trying to get our focus, back on track.
Oh, good. Wow. All right. Any closing thoughts?
Okay, well, here would be, well, a couple of things that come to mind if you will give me just a few minutes. One of them is I think we need to start asking better questions. Because the question we often ask is, what time is it? Right? And we have these clocks all over the place. I don't know if you can see it, I purposely got this watch that doesn't have any numbers and it doesn't have any dots or lines on it. So I know approximately what time it is,
But
but I
not
don't have to
exactly.
know the exact minute. Like that's just going to make me feel stressed out. Right now, I know we have it on our phone. So all you have to do is pick that up and it's going to have a digital number staring right at you and you'll know exactly the hour and the minute. But I feel like when we're always asking, what time is it? Right. Then I feel like I'm trying again to chase after time, to control it. And I've got a bunch of random things I'm doing. I'm multitasking. I'm adding more stuff to my to-do list. And it's this constant rat race. Whereas if we go, okay, Lord, because I'm doing this with God, what is it time for? Like, what is the bigger purpose in this moment or in this hour or in this day? Right. And it helps me to focus in on why I'm doing something, why it matters, and also just to build those rhythms and routines, so everything's not regimented. And I think that makes such a big difference. And so I teach a time blocking method called the 2+3 time blocking, where I believe every woman on the planet, and probably guys too, but I don't specifically talk to the guys. I'm called to talk to the ladies. So if you're listening and a guy, this will apply to you too. We all need two refills. We needed a morning refill and an evening refill when we are being, filled up. And then we have our three pour outs, which is when we're pouring out either into our home, our family, or our work. And then all those things, all those tasks, right, fit into one of those. And I'm not trying to pour out into family while I'm doing my work because, it's not going to work well. I'm going to misspell the text to my, my clients, and I'm going to accidentally not hit send on an email, and I'm going to, we try to do all those things at once. We think multitasking is our superpower. It's really our kryptonite. And
Oh,
so knowing
yeah.
what to do when is really what helps to it helps us get rid of the guilt trips, because it's not like I talk to so many women. They feel guilty when they're working because they're not with their family or doing this other thing. And then they feel guilty when they're with their family or like they should be working, right? But when everything has its place in your, day, week, month, year, I don't feel bad when I'm in the moment focusing on what is most important in the moment, because I know that other thing already has its place. And so really it comes down to, I love what Psalm 90 verse 12 teaches, and that's teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Another version says, teach us to use wisely all the time we have, which again does not mean I'm grasping onto it and holding it tightly so it doesn't run through my fingers, but it's like being a wise steward, like in the parable of the talents, right? I'm using this and investing this to build his kingdom and trusting that even as there's a letting go in that he is going to, make it ex have that exponential increase.
That's wonderful. Oh, so much good. All right. Yeah, I gotta go back and watch this again. There's no
I need to
doubt.
watch it again. I gotta tell this to myself. And here's the last thing that I say, because I think we believe we get stuck in that there's never enough time. And here's what I truly believe God's word about time boils down to. You know what it is? It's three simple words. If this is all you hear in our whole conversation, ready? You have time. You do. You have time. You have 24 hours a day, just like the Israelites rested and trusted in him every day to bring manna. Because they couldn't store up from yesterday, they couldn't borrow from tomorrow. I think that is our daily bread that we're asking for in the Lord's Prayer, right? What is it that we are dependent on every day that we cannot produce on ourselves? I believe it's our time, right? And so every morning we wake up and He gives us 24 hours. So I do have time. Now, what am I choosing to, to do with that that's going to build His kingdom and what He's called me to, in the here and now in this life of business?
That's great. Yeah, we do have time. We just have to prioritize it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much. That was so much wonderful information. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. And here's the key. It's the information, because it's probably nothing you've never heard before, right? Maybe the shift about what you're believing was, but it really is the implementation piece. That's what makes the difference. Because we can buy the planner, we can, read the book, we can listen to the podcast, we can, X, Y, and Z things, but am I really consistently implementing this belief that I have time, that it's a gift, and that, God is going to make it abundantly enough, more than enough for what it is that I'm called to. And I think that's really where the key is.
Oh,
What am I
yeah.
going to do with this, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. All right. Well, thank you so much for so much great information. I think we should do a like a Facebook Live or something and have people drill you with questions.
I would love it. I think that would be really fun. And I do have a gift for your audience, if that's okay to
Oh,
offer them.
yes, please share.
Okay. Because when you don't feel like you have enough time, and I tell you, when I said that you need to have two refills a day, morning and evening, you might have been like, yeah, right. You don't know my life. You don't know my kids. You don't know my husband. You don't know my business. You don't know my dogs, my health, my whatever. And I want to say, you're right. I don't, but he does. And he is what you need before you pour out into any of those things. So I have put together a free guide called the Fill Your Cup First, because I truly believe we can't pour from empty cup. And when we take the time and make the time to fill up body, mind, and spirit, then we have something to pour out. And it's amazing, again, how that math works backwards. When you do that, he makes the time in between more than enough. So if you go to my website, redeemhertime.com, it'll either pop up, right away if it's your first time on the website, or it'll be right at the very top. Grab the Fill Your Cup First guide, and There's a coaching video in there. There's a workbook to help you not only figure out what would this look like, but when in the world would I fit this into my busy life? And then I challenge you to try it and see if, you know, the way he says to use our time is truly different than what the world says.
Oh, for sure. All right. We're going to make sure that link is below. So make sure you check that out. All right. Well, thank you so much. That was so much wonderful information. I'm really serious. We'll connect and see if we can do a Facebook Live with questions. That would be fun.
That would be fun. And come hang out with me on the Redeem Her Time podcast, where we talk about this stuff every single week and looking at what he says about our time and what we're doing with it.
Oh, I love it when it's connected with scripture.
Right? Because that's where our wisdom truly is. We want to figure it out on our own, but he knows better.
Yeah. All right, Giant Builders, we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Giant Builders with Lois Wyant.